For tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, June the 29th, 1979. Summer camp meeting being held at Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs, Arkansas. David Bunch of Van Nuys, California, the speaker of the afternoon.
Hi, several things in, and I want to share with you several things, observations, counsel of the Lord. It's very important, beloved, that we keep our experience balanced. Jesus Christ was balanced, body, soul, and spirit. And I've seen through the years so many that have gotten out on tangents, and they're easily out on a limb of tangent, it's easily cut off. But when you anchor yourself and abide in the trunk of the tree, then the storms can't come and uproot you and topple you. The redwood, which is one of the great monarchs, one of the oldest living things, is uniquely like a Christian. For one thing, it has no taproot like so many roots, trees. And you'd think something so great as this would have a taproot that would go deep, deep, deep. But it doesn't. It has a great root system that goes out for acres. And the other redwood trees interweave into that, and they help hold one another up. And the Christian is not in himself, but we are part of a body. And the redwood can take fire, and it'll quench that fire. Many times you see a redwood burnt, but it's still standing. But there's one thing that destroys the redwood, and that is lightning that would knock off one big limb. Then this great monarch that's 15, 20 feet across will become overbalanced and will topple and fall. Now, God has brought you, especially in this camp meeting, a balance. You've heard of the last day ministry. You've heard beautiful Bible studies concerning what God is planning to do. You've brought and you're acquainted with deliverance. Begin to balance this. If in your body you have beans, I often say that during the Depression, that's all we ever had. Once in a while, we had chicken soup, and all we did, it was pretty weak because we just ran the chicken through. We didn't want to cook them because we still needed the eggs, you know. I say we were so poor that the poor people stood back and looked and said, look at them poor folks going by there. It really wasn't that bad. We were on a farm and lived very sumptuously, really. But if you have beans, and this is all that you have, pretty soon your body would begin to show it. Pretty soon there would be maladies and things that would come into your body because you didn't have a balanced diet. And beloved, God has a full gamut of nuggets and truths and nourishment. The one thing about our church is that, and it's taken us 10 years to bring it into this, I left a large church and took a little church. Quite a big hunk in salary, and other ministers thought that I'd lost my marbles, and there was a time when I thought I had. But now our church is balanced. Praise is a part of our church. When we came, they didn't allow clapping in the hands. They didn't want any fast songs. And speaking in tongues, well, we might allow loose the Holy Spirit. They treat him like a horse. We keep him tied up, but on Wednesday night we might let him go and do a little thing, but not too much. But now there's dancing in the spirit and messages and singing in messages, singing in interpretations and singing in the spirit. And we have a deliverance service, and Tuesday is fast day. Tuesday morning is a prayer meeting. Tuesday night is a prayer meeting followed by deliverance service. And Wednesday night Bible study. Thursday night, our youth group meets. For Thursday, our ladies meet. Friday night, our young people meet. I've never had a problem with... I used to have, in the other church, maybe 40, 50 young people. They are forever wanting to be in parties. Now I have to suggest to the kids that they get together, the young people, and have a party. They're more interested in shouting and praising God and dancing and preaching preaching. And there's a whole bunch of preachers coming up. But their message is balanced. And so I suggest to you that you keep your walk with God in a balanced way. And God has opened up to many of you some new thoughts concerning this last day. Now, we went to Matthew 24, you recall, the other day. And we spoke of some of the things that were the signs of this last day and what God's Word speaks concerning it. And may I just sort of recap just for a moment and stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. You see, there's no food for the spiritual man except the Word of God. And sometimes we learn things so by rote that we don't realize that we have to go back and continue to feed and nourish ourselves in the Word of God. Amen? We spoke concerning the birth of the man-child in the 12th chapter of Revelation. And that the man-child comes out of the woman. And that the woman is an overcomer. She is clothed with the sun, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. She has her feet upon the moon. And the moon is a type of flesh. The sun is a type of the Son of God. We have no life in ourselves as the moon has no life in itself. But we reflect the sun. We let it go forth from us as we continue to take life from the Son of God. And she brings forth a man-child. And this man-child is immediately caught over into the throne of God, over into the supernatural, over into the spiritual realm. You realize that the spiritual realm is right here. Elijah said, "Open their eyes, Lord, that they may see." The whole armies of the host of heaven were there. They were there, you see. And they are two different realms. And so it says, caught up. Well, in the spiritual realm is up. It's a higher realm. It's a realm in which we will spend. It's the real reality. It's where we will spend eternity in our spiritual bodies. Heaven and earth will pass away, but there's a new heaven and a new earth, a new dimension. You see, before the fall, Adam and Eve easily went back and forth between us. I believe with all my heart, and this is a bunchism. Okay, I want you to catch that. The Garden of Eden is actually in the spiritual realm. And man in his fall was chased out of that spiritual realm, and the angels were placed there so that he could not go back. And we cannot. Only once in a while does God allow some to look into the spiritual realm and see in the spiritual realm. Now, this woman gives birth to this man-child, and this man-child is caught over into the throne of God. Now, we initiated this particular thought by Peter getting out of the boat. You see, Jesus was with them. He went up from them to intercede as the boat launched out. In the fourth watch at night, in the last hours of darkness, he comes back to them. How? In a way they had not anticipated, in a way they didn't understand. And he calls the people out of the people. He calls the man-child out of the woman. Now, right now, that man-child is in the woman. Don't listen to somebody say, come on over here, or run over there, or he's over here. But don't believe it. When he's born, he will have a supernatural body. He will be caught over to the throne of God. You see. And so this is one of the criteria. It's only then, you see, that God will come back. And Brother Lee has been talking about this. Let's see, where's our chalk? Well, I'll do it with my finger. You think it'll write? I don't really need to write. I just need a pointer, is all. But you see, this man-child will be born out of this woman right here. And there's a woman, even though it is the seat of Satan right now. Though Satan has moved into the church, God is still separating a people. God is still separating a people, even right now, that will be called the overcomer, and that out of that overcomer will come the man-child, the Zion people. You see? Many are called, but few are chosen. And they will go in here, and they will come back, and then they will... Judgment will begin at the house of God, and they will separate this woman into a hiding place as the man-child continues to judge in the church. And when the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies, those that are out here must go on back out here. And so it is that he will drive them out, those that are the money changers, as Jesus did. He will drive them out of the area of the woman, and they will have to go on back out here. But in the meantime, there will be a great drought that will come. And during that time of drought, God will have, the man-child will have prepared a hiding place for that woman that he will separate, for the woman that gave birth to him. Jesus, hanging on the cross, said, "This is your mother." He took and made room for the one and provision for the one that gave birth to him. And so there will be a purging out here until God purges and cleans the holy place. And these will go on outside. Now, there will be a famine during that land. And we went to Noah. What did Noah do? Noah was warned and preached just a message that had never been heard before. And we're preaching in this last day a message that has never been heard before. He said it's going to rain. They had never heard of rain. We're saying there's coming just the opposite, a famine and judgment. And it's God's time. And what did Noah do? He took food and put it in the hiding place. And then when it was fully time, then all of those went into that hiding place, and the door was locked. The door was closed. And then judgment fell on the rest of the earth. The man-child is typified by Joseph, who is rejected by his brethren. And those that are going to live godly shall suffer persecution. And those that are the called in this last day are going to be left-handed people. They're going to be a peculiar people. We are told to come out from among them and be a peculiar people. And they're going to be a peculiar people. Joseph was uniquely different, and he was rejected. He was kicked out by his brethren. He was thrown in jail. But finally, God exalted him, and he was king. He was second only to Pharaoh. He was in charge of what? The provision of the hiding place. Now, God could have very well have provided food for the brethren up in Canaan's land. But he brought them down through this and brought them out of their own land into a place where they were provided for. And so here you have the man-child making room for the provision. And as far as Noah is concerned, he says, "As in the days of Noah, so shall the end time be." So shall the end time be. I think it's very significant, this. And so there is a period of time here where there is drought. And the Bible says in Matthew 24 that there will be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. It goes on to say the end is not yet. The end is not yet. Because the process is still going on, and God will have a people. Now, we talked about Elijah. And again, Elijah is a type of the overall body of Christ, both the man-child and the woman, in that Elijah, first of all, flees into the wilderness because of persecution. Why? Government corruption, Ahab and Jezebel. And the government is corrupt. Even today, we see things reaching in and beginning to, we're using the IRS to break down the separation of church and state. And accused. Oh, yes, they first did it with the cults, and we said, "Well, praise God, they need to be checked on." Well, stand in line, honey, you're the next one. Yeah. And pretty soon they'll no longer let you have credit for what you give. And pretty soon they will be taxing the churches and so forth. In California right now, if I speak out politically about anything, every year I have to give a thing. If I speak out politically on any political subject, I lose the tax exemption of our church. They don't have to pay any attention to us anymore because they've taken the voice away from us. We don't dare say anything, so why concern ourselves with the church? Because they can go on without being worried about it. And so persecution is coming from the church. But Elijah flees into the wilderness. First of all, a type of many places that will be provided by God that needs no storage. There are areas in the world, and I know of some, where nut trees are plentifully, bananas, avocados, papaya, mangoes, breadfruit, all kinds of things that you can, and potatoes, things just grow profusely. And so he was provided for in the wilderness. But then we have him going then to the widow. And what did she do? She had stored food. It was about to run out, but she had stored food. She had enough to last until he got there, and then it was blessed of the Lord. And Isaiah 4, we talked about that and how that the glory of the Lord is going to be for a defense. And I wanted to go into what the glory of the Lord is. The glory is actually the name of those that are going to be joint heirs with him. It's another name for Zion. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The trouble and the trials and the testings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in you. You see. And you are actually like the tabernacle. Your outer court, flesh, holy place, soul, and holy of holies, spirit. You're a trichotomy. Man in his fallen state is not a trichotomy. He's a dichotomy. He is not in the image of God. He's just body and soul, with the flesh in charge. So we've talked about these different things. There was one part here in Matthew that I wanted to talk about. Remember, we gave you the article from the Almanac concerning the lateness of the hour, concerning prophecies before Noah's day, concerning ships and concerning gold and concerning America being discovered and all of these things. But these are things that were written on tombstones and given by prophetess in those days. But the Bible says here in Matthew 24 and the 32nd verse, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branches is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." Now what generation? Well, the generation that sees the fig tree put forth her shoots. And the fig tree is Israel. And in 1948 she became a nation. 1 minute before midnight, she was forbidden to have guns. She smuggled them in, and then 1 minute after midnight, she had to fight for her life. And God, one of the greatest miracles of time, of our lifetime, took place as God fought for Israel. But it took the very back pages. It's like the march on Washington, D.C., where 25,000 Christians went to Washington, and there wasn't one thing in the media, there wasn't one thing in the newspaper, not one thing. But let five suckers go down to your city hall, and they'll have the TV cameras there. Huh? Well, Israel, God turned around and equipped the children of Israel overnight. There were groves of beehives, groves of trees with beehives in it. And the tanks of the Arabs, they were the old-time tanks, you know, with the slit, not the periscope, but the slit. And they ran over these beehives, and the bees swarmed and went in the tanks, and out come these men a-crying. And men with rifles. Tell me, how do you shoot a swarm of bees? They just threw down their guns and even tore off their clothes. And the children of Israel had guns and ammunition and clothing and tanks. And God undertook in a supernatural way. Now God is going to supernaturally take care of the woman. You see, I said the glory of the Lord shall be a defense. Well, it says this generation. All right, what is a generation? You can read the scholars, you can read what you want. Everybody has a thing, but what does the Bible say? If you go to the Bible, you'll find in Matthew that it says so-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so. And then it says it's 14 generations from here to here. And then it's 14 generations from here to here. And it's 14 generations from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ. And we know pretty well, you can go to Haley's handbook, and it's you divide it by 14, you'll get 35 years. 35. One said 30, one said 40, and the Bible says 35 years. Well, you had 35 years in 1948, and you get 1983. And in 1982, in December, you had an article, Brother Glenn, in your magazine about the book that was written by this Christian astronomer, and he said that the planets are going to be lined up in December. That's almost 83, isn't it? You see, the Bible says there will be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. And that you know that when the moon and the sun line up, we have a greater tide than any time before. There's a high tide in California. Many of the homes along the ocean are washed away and undermined. Well, when all of these planets line up, they say that it will cause earthquakes. It will cause tidal waves and things such as the earth has not seen. Remember the prophecy that I gave you says, and then this world to an end shall come in 1981. Now, I'm not endorsing any of this. I'm not trying to give you, I'm trying to say that don't fool around with your time. Be busy for God. Get into the Word of God. I'm not trying to gender fear. I'm telling you, don't know just one aspect of it, but begin to let God teach you the full. Let Him spread a meal before you in its completeness. God's got not only the hors d'oeuvres, but He's got the dessert. And He's got a lot of good steak in between. Amen. And so, we spoke about it raining out, Elijah and Joseph and Noah, the man-child. It doesn't rain. During the ministry of the two witnesses, which is 3.5 years, which is exactly the same time as the man-child ministers, it doesn't rain during that time. In the sixth chapter of Revelation, the fourth horse has the power to kill by hunger, by animals, beasts, and by the sword. Speaking of war, and then the second beast taking peace from the earth and so forth, there are many things going to happen, but God's going to have a people. You see, it didn't rain in the land of Goshen, as God judged that it is a type of sin. Now, I want you to see this, because it is a plan of God. God turned around. He had a man called Adam. And Adam gave birth to a woman. And that woman, after a period of years, gave birth to a man-child again. Her name was Mary. His name was Jesus. Then that man-child turned around and gave birth to a woman again. It is called the church. And now that church is going to give birth in the last days to another man-child. We started in the physical realm and graduated through Jesus into the spiritual realm, and a spiritual body will be born out of a spiritual woman called the church. As the woman travails, so shall the end time be. Glory be to God. And so, we're speaking of things that are all the way through the Word of God. I am always hesitant to come and speak extemporaneously, because what I do is I skip over so many nuggets and so much background, because I don't have any notes or any pattern along, that I use up about a whole week's sermon in, you know, one message. And sometimes it's a little heavy. I realize that. But may I suggest to you that you keep your mind open. Trust in God. If you ask Him an egg, He's not going to give you a scorpion. If you ask bread, He's not going to give you a serpent. I would be ashamed to accuse my God. But weigh it to the Word of God. It will line up with the Word of God. But keep open. You see, tradition is what made the Jews miss Jesus. And the same polluted tradition that the church is engulfed in now is going to cause them to miss the spiritual body of Christ. The same thing, the same pattern is there. You see, the name of this spiritual man, and maybe we'll talk about that another time, is Glory. Is Glory. If you go over in Zechariah, the 12th and the 13th verses, you'll see what I mean. It says that the glory, the branch, will be raised up, and it'll be beautiful, and the branch will bear the glory. And this word bear in the Hebrew is not give birth to. Those that are going to be a part of the man-child are already born again. But he raises them up. He raises them up. And so the woman will be, and the man-child will be raised up. He will bear the glory. And he says, goes on to say, he sits upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. And there are only two mentions, the branch and the glory. And so that one that sits upon the throne with him is called Glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The present suffering in this world is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in you. And so forth. There are many other scriptures along this line. But Zechariah implies or speaks of the council of peace being between them both. And who is it? It's the overcomer. For the overcomer sits on the throne with him. And the overcomer eats of the hidden manna. Where is the hidden manna? It's in the ark. It's in Christ. It's within the third veil. The overcomer eats of the hidden manna. And so, press on in. What I'm concerned about now and what we've found in other meetings is not the lack of vision, but sometimes the lack of wisdom in handling the vision that is presented. For you're not careful, you can end up like the two apostles wondering and arguing who's going to be on the right hand and who's going to be on the left hand. Am I going to be in the bride or am I going to be in the man-child? But may I suggest to you that you live in such a way that you'll be chosen. Begin to take care of the here and now, and God will take care of that. It's his choice. Anyway, he said it's in the Father's hands. And so, let's begin to check our lives. That we have a balance. That we're actually progressing. Let's drive some stakes and see that we're going a little way. You know? Let's put some landmarks and let's put some points in our lives where we want to be victorious in those areas. Now, this morning, our brother Lee mentioned the fact of male and female spirits, and sometimes a female can have a masculine spirit. Now, I have found, and remember, there will be men in the bride, and there will be women in the man-child. God's choice. But I've found also in the spiritual realm, in satanic force, there are male and female spirits. You will run into them. And a male spirit, well, as an example, we had a young lady that came for deliverance. And the male spirit would let my wife hold one arm down just as easy as could be. And my son is 6 foot something and you know, like this. And he and I together were trying with all of our heart to hold down the other arm. Yeah. He didn't want another male touching him, but the woman was all right, you see. But this was in a woman. And so there is much to learn in this realm, but keep it balanced. Stay anchored in the trunk of the tree. Keep the meal that you prepare balanced. You want your children to be healthy? Give them a balanced meal. Take care of their diet. And so as a pastor, I've guarded this very, very carefully, and our church is balanced. And thank God for it. Now, let's go back for a moment. I don't want to keep you too long. I want to pray for something in specific this morning, or this afternoon, rather. And so as I proceed, well, you understand. There are areas here, and I've covered up part of the chart, because I feel that God does not want me to share this area. I have many other charts at home, but Brother Lee happened to have this one along with him, and so we happen to have it with us this morning. But the man-child, when he is born, is caught over into the throne of God. And only then is a war starting in heaven. There's a war going on now. But only then is there a war started in heaven, and Satan is cast out of heaven. Why? Well, you see, God has accepted the challenge of Satan. But would somebody take this fly home with you? I don't know. I think it found this sweet Californian, and he just can't. I don't know if that's it, or if it, when he's flying around, he's going like that. But anyway, he's sure been bothering me. All righty. Now, the man-child, or God, has accepted the challenge of Satan. And where is that battlefield? You. Over your soul. For the spirit wars against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit, and these two are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But as you yield to God, God restores your soul. God restores your soul. And the more you yield, the more he occupies of that soul, until eventually it can be totally taken over and controlled by God. But this demands deliverance. Now, there are those that say, oh, now, wait a minute. How know you not that your bodies are the temple of God? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But what body are you talking about? I hope that was the one that was bothering me. What body are you talking about? Corinthians, the 15th chapter, says there is a natural body. There is a spiritual body. And God dwells in the spiritual body. Because God's word says, in me, that is in my flesh, in my fleshly body, dwelleth no good thing. God's answer for this fleshly man is not to whitewash him and teach him the length of his hair and the length of the sleeve and all of the things that flesh can get into in religion. But God's answer is to kill him at Calvary, to crucify him. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet it's not me, it's Christ living through me. And so, the man-child is born and caught over, and then Satan is tossed out of heaven when God's man-child comes into full maturity and is now got what? A glorified body, a spiritual body. Now, the division here is right here. Now, we have a book of about 150 pages of demon powers that we have proven. We never, ever put one down until at least three people have been delivered from that particular thing. So we just put a few of the upper echelon here. But there is a hierarchy of Satan. There is a hierarchy of Satan, and you will notice that this is the realm, this is the division. Below here, below this line right here, is the realm of the flesh. They are disembodied spirits. They are spirits of satanic origin and power. And this is what so many deal with. But there are many of them. Not just one, but there are thousands and thousands of spirits of lust. There are thousands and thousands of insane spirits and so forth. But above this line right here, can you see where I'm pointing? Above this line here, there's only one of a kind. And this kind up in the upper echelon, you do not cast into the lake of fire. You send it away or rebuke it, and it will flee from you. But the lower echelon, you can take, and I know, Don Basham, and some of them say that you can't do this, but let me tell you, it works. Jesus, they said to Jesus, have you come to torment us ahead of time? What is the torment of spiritual powers? The lake of fire. So they said, Jesus, you have the right and you can cast us into the lake of fire to torment us ahead of time. And Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. Jesus also killed or cursed the fig tree, and it began to wither and die from that very moment. A curse of death. And then in the next verse or so, it says, and ye shall say to this mountain, be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done. And a mountain is always depicting power. Zion is a mountain of God. The Philistines were on one mountain, and the children of Israel and Goliath, Philistines and Goliath were on one mountain, and the children of Israel were on another mountain. Talking about powers and so forth. He shall say to this mountain, and many times I've given the number 10 as the time limit. And I said, when I reach 10, I'm going to consign you to the lake of fire to be chained there until the day of judgment. I heard him scream and say, no, no, no. I don't want to go there. I said, have you seen it? Yes. Yes, I don't want to go there. And sometimes you will see them actually fight to get out. Not fight to stay in, fight to get out when you come close to the end of the number. Now, the secret of deliverance is to go as high up the ladder, the chain of command, as you can. If you were going to come up and fight with me, and you cut my head off, my rest of my body would be no danger to you whatsoever. But if you want to come up and fight with my fist and my feet, you're liable to get hurt. I don't care how strong you are, there would be at least, while you had a meal at least, I'd have a sandwich or two. You follow what I'm saying? And so the higher up the chain of command you can get, this is what Lee was drawn by the octopus. You can fight with the tentacles and another will reach around you and you can wrestle with them and wrestle with them. But beloved, if you get the head and bite it right between the eyes, it's dead. And so the more you move up, now this realm here, you can consign to the lake of fire. I always demand that if they come out in Rome and find dry places, that they cannot come back there and that they cannot touch the household of God. I forbid them. You have the power to put the stipulations, the agreement upon this. Now, I want you to notice something, because here is the zodiac. And the zodiac is a power or a place of control. You have to readjust it there a little bit. Is that clear? Okay. The earth is divided up into 12 areas by Satan. Okay. Well, that's all right. The closer you get, the less you're going to get on. Okay. No, I've got that top covered. All right. Now, the earth is divided up into 12 areas or regions of demon powers. And these are the thrones of the zodiac. When a person is born into the world, he is born under a certain month. And so, consequently, Satan is divided up and saying, this is mine, and this is mine, and this is mine. And those that follow this thing, they have great problems, and you'll notice people around their birthdays, there are things begin to happen. It's because they have been born. I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. And so when we are born, Satan places a crown upon our head. He claims us as his territory, his land. And these zodiac signs claim you. And the more you yield to it, the more, when somebody asks you what sign you're born under, you say, I'm born under the fish. I'm born under Jesus Christ, the cross of Calvary. Don't swear or speak allegiance to this. And the more you yield to it and acknowledge it, the more it grows in your life. And the more you become like what? Like the demon power. Just exactly the same way as when you are born again, and the more you yield to Christ, the more you become Christ-like. The more he flows through you, the easier it is to flow. The easier it is. When you first brought them first message, you stumbled and stammered a little bit and didn't finish in prophecy, or you started a little bit in tongues and got afraid and stopped. All right, but then as you went on, it flowed easier and easier. The Holy Spirit has found a channel through you. Same way with demon powers. When you yield to a temper, first it's just a little pouting. And then as you yield more to it, it becomes a temper. And as you yield more to it, it becomes a rage. And each one of these steps open doors for other things that are accompanied with that particular thing. And you say, which one is ruling in my life? The one you yield to the most. We have found that they are very definitely antisocial with one another. They hate one another. But whichever one, and so a lesser power can actually be in charge over a greater power, as far as the demon power is concerned, because that one's the one that is yielded. And so they will keep it. Deliverance is like peeling an onion. You peel off one layer, and then something else will show. Why? Because it takes over. It becomes the dominant one. That's if you throw out the leading one, the ruling one, you see. If you fiddle around with the little ones, you wrestle with them and fight with them. If you get the head, when you get the strong man, and it's a lot like they live in castles or clusters of grapes. All in one phylum or one type will be in that one castle. And if you will get the leader of that castle, then the castle falls. But if you fight with the footman, you're going to fight this one and 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 this one. And as we go in this last day, God is going to take people higher and higher up. And I like to think this, but I'm not positive, but I believe that as a result of our church pressing on through until God has given us the chain of command all the way, the more land we conquered, you see, when an army goes in, the first ones in have to fight. And believe me, we went through things that are unbelievable. We started out with the wrestling on the floor. 5 and 6 men, I saw a little 140-pound man soaking wet. Take a 300-pound man as he's laying there and just lift him right off the ground. And that boy couldn't fight his way out of a paper bag. And you become floundered, you know. And I don't want to do that. And yet, when am I going to see you again? When am I going to, you see, many of our lives will not pass again, and I want to plant some seed, even though you might retain it, the Holy Spirit can bring it to remembrance. I want you to know Brother Lee Ellingwood's ministry is rich, and it has truths, beloved, that if you can get the tapes or if you can get the notes, chew on it, chew on it, chew on it. Get into the Word of God. It all paints the same picture. One thing that thrilled me is the scriptures and the things and the examples that I use, Brother Lee didn't use. But we've found out as we begin to share that they both dovetail together. You see, and we were coming out with the exact same thing and the exact same picture. And God is giving one portion to one and another portion, where one may not see the hiding place, you see. But it's there. There are too many things there, even the New Testament and the Old Testament, to ignore, and the famine, and so forth. And that famine, remember, I said, is going to trigger the money people of this world. In the second year of that famine, when they can no longer, when they begin to see it close in on them, and the world supply is about out of their hands, they're going to trigger a world war that will annihilate the masses, and they'll use the new neutron bomb to do it. Up till now, they couldn't do that because they would destroy their rivers and their factories and their railroads and their bus lines and their buildings and all of these things. But now they can do it. It's being set up even so right now. Russia is building and building bomb shelters and places and stocking them. In America, what are we doing? Well, we're nothing, absolutely. Even the ones we had in the Korean War, we've done away with now. Or World War II, we've done away with, you see. So 100 million Americans, if a war started right now, would die in the United States. But only 15 million Russians. Why this? because they will save those that are used to being under the thumb and servitude. But you see, God's going to outmaneuver them. He'll have a people hid away, and the glory of the Lord shall be for a defense. And again, Isaiah 4, it speaks about the judgment of washing. He will wash Zion. That's the man-child. She will be washed, and she's the feet. He is the feet area that is washed, you see. The last thing to be born in a spiritual birth, I mean a natural birth, are the feet. And the last thing in the spiritual body of Christ will be the feet area. And they will be washed. It says he will wash Zion, but he will purge Jerusalem, which is the woman, by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. And our things that we've done are to be tried, and they will be hay, wooden stubble, or gold and silver and precious stone. They will be tried by fire. Are you still with me? You know, the Monday that I talked, everybody applauded. Wednesday when I finished, nobody said a word. Now I want everybody just for a minute to smile at me. I want to know I'm going to get out of here alive. That's better. All right. Let's give him a praise offering, shall we? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so this man-child is born, and now he has his spiritual body. So with a spiritual body, I can come against the spiritual forces in the heavenly places. In the fleshly body, the temple I have now, I can rebuke them, I can resist them, they have to flee from me. And the ones that are in the material realm, I can bind and curse, and with the curse of the fig tree, I can cast them out, I can cast them into the lake of fire. But I can't do the other. I was dealing with some Hindu spirits in a missionary that had come home. And I dealt with the ringleader, and I commanded him to go to the lake of fire. And he said, you can't do that. And I said, well, what do you mean I can't do that? He said, I'm of the upper group. And I said, well, you get out of here in the name of Jesus. I can resist you and you must flee. And he said, all right, I'll go, but I'll do battle with you in the last days. They think they're going to win. They really do. They think they're going to win. Yeah. I've had demon spirits say, he's laughing at me. Oh, who? Satan, he's standing right there and laughing at me. They have no love for that's below them. They're ruthless. And when their hands are tied, they just desert them. The upper echelon deserts real easy. It's the lower echelon that does the fighting. So bind the strong man. The higher up the ladder. I like to think, and I started to say this, that our church was used to spearhead in until we found the throne room of Satan. Satan is an office. There's a trinity under it. And Satan has guarded carefully that secret. And in time, God will reveal that. And God's people will begin to storm the very throne room of Satan. But there's coming a time when the man-child with his spiritual body will cast Satan out of the heavenlies down to the earth. You see? And so this is the reason that the man-child, after it's born, suddenly there's a war in heaven. No, there's been a war in heaven all the way along. But God has accepted the challenge of Satan, so he uses man. And so he's brought man into the fullness and into the spiritual body of Christ. And he will bring Satan down from the heavenlies then, because God fights fair. He stays with the rules and the regulations. All right? Now, I want you to notice this next level here going down. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. You say they are the seven churches. No, they are not. They are the cities in which the seven churches were in. And they are the crown for, they are like, we call, God gave us the name Modius. It's a tube that sits on your crown, seven tubes. through which the upper echelon reach in to control the demon powers in your life. In the Word of God, in, I believe it's, 2 Peter, or 1 Peter. Let's just read that for a second, the 5th chapter. Just for a second. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Brother Lee said that, and thrilled me when he said this, that many of those that have gone on, the overcomers in different ages that have died and have already been with the Lord, will come back with him in Thessalonians when they call the man-child out of the woman, those of other ages. The apostles are going to be walking upon this earth. Amen. And what does it say here? He says, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, future tense. And what is that glory that shall be revealed? It is the man-child. That one that sits on the throne with him in Zechariah, the 6th chapter, the 12th and 13th verses, that sits on the throne with him and rules with him, and the council of peace is between them both. And he, Paul, says, I'm a part of that glory that shall be revealed. I like that. I'm always worried about what's going to happen to all those fellows. And the ones that were overcomers prior to now. But let's go on down a little bit. In the third verse, or the fourth verse, I want you to notice this. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And so one of the final deliverances that God is going to bring to his children is that he's going to take Satan's crown once and for all off. And he's going to give us a crown, a diadem of beauty, it says, over another place, over in the 102nd Psalm. A diadem of beauty, a new crown of glory. You see, beloved, you wonder where the power and what the change will think. If God's children, even though they have Satan still trying to rule over this fleshly man, and it's foolish not to realize that we are susceptible, we are fighting a battle, the flesh warreth against the spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary, the one to the other, the flesh cannot please God. You see? And so, with this crown, we can close the Modiuses. We can close these of Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea. We can close it. We can send all of these others on back to their throne or any other force that is there in the upper echelon. We can send it away. But one of these days, when he comes, when the chief shepherd shall appear, he's bringing with him a crown. One of the ladies in our church had a vision one Sunday, and suddenly she saw Jesus standing beside me in the church. And he would whisper to me, and I was calling different people of the congregation out. And when they came down, I gave them the new crown. I just gave them a new crown. God was using the man-child to give a new crown to those. Many are called, but few are chosen. But don't be getting alarmed by this. Beloved, any place in God and God's perfect plan for your life is going to be wonderful. Hallelujah. Fantastic. But we must face reality. God says many are called, but few are chosen. Amen? And God teaches these things very clearly. But he's going to bring a crown. And so these, which are the church of the cities, the names of the cities, have some particular ministry or area that they work in. And you'll notice that they come right down, and they come through mental illness, spiritual problems, fear and deception, rebellion. Rebellion is one of the greatest doors, one of the very first things that a child begins to have to deal with. As they, that little stubborn spirit and that little tantrum that you, if you allow it, will grow and develop. But if you know what you're doing, we've seen, and this may shock some of you, but we've seen alcoholic spirits cast out of children, little tiny. You say, how can they? They're not the age of accountability. Whoever told you that? It's visited upon the third and the fourth generation.
and they don't even know what alcohol is or some of the other things that we cast out. But their grandparents were involved and was an alcoholic, or their mother and father were. And you can stop that chain of command. It's no problem. It's no big thing, you see. But it's a matter of being taught. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free, you see. You see, you shall know the truth. We shall tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. He says, I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The only thing that I've ever enjoyed about being heavy was the fact that if I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2 and 6, with him, and all things are under his feet, then all things are under my feet. Let God stump him a little bit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I didn't. Don't get excited now. All righty. So here we have, and I could draw this as a great crown. It has a pyramid in the center. It has seven tubes around the outside. And these tubes are that the upper echelon, up in here and on up in here, reach down through to control. Control. Here are some of the upper echelon that are over such things as schizophrenia, paranoia. The pigs in the parlor have a very, very good list of the lower echelon. And it's a very good list. What? Yeah, they're the foot soldiers down there of Satan. But as God leads you on to, and I never did get finished what I was going to say about our church, did I? As we pushed on in and conquered the land, then all of those that come after, they don't have to fight for it. It's already been conquered. They just claim it. And we found about 7 years ago that all of a sudden God was beginning to give people names of the upper echelon. They were given names of those that are over cities. And pretty soon, one of these days, and as you pray even now, God can give you the ruling demon over your city. It's far below the zodiac area, for they're over areas of the world, but it breaks down, and then even sections of the city, there are less in demon powers. And Brother Lee and I have already agreed. He has told me when he first met me, he said, we're going to bind the strong man of this valley, and we're going to have a revival that will shake the world right from here. Amen. William Branham came into that valley, and William Branham, as a result of that valley, quit preaching for several months and months until the full gospel business went. He had great crowds, but his finances were so destroyed that he couldn't even pay his bills. He was so far in debt that the full gospel businessmen bailed him out. All got together because he said, I'll not preach unless God can take care of me and meet needs. And they got together and they bailed him out. Kissing cousin close to Hollywood. There's powers and forces, but God's got a witness. God's got a witness. Well, I think that I've pretty well taken up the time that I should this afternoon. I hope that these things have been enlightened. Yes. Yes. And that's the ruler over the lesser ones. You see. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying. That's what we found. We started out wrestling. We started out wrestling and going through all of this. Now, 90% of those that we pray for are slain under the power. Now, that doesn't mean that anybody has to be slain, but they just happen to be. And in an hour's time, there can be 20 or 30 spirits leave instead of wrestling 4 and 5 hours until 1 and 2 o'clock at night, trying to get one fist out from banging around and beating and clubbing. Now, God's going to begin to reveal this to the church. So don't fret about it. We have, like I said, 150 pages and with the names and what they are beside them. And then I've also gotten them in different categories. If you find somebody with bad dreams, there are spirits that deal with dreams. And you don't deal just with a dream. You go to the different rulers of dreams or insomnia and so forth. And there's results. Alrighty? And so You ask God. You wait before God. I haven't revealed the rest of this, and almost reluctantly I'm sharing with you today. Because I feel that it's up to God to feed the hungry people. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Do you follow what I'm saying to you? I love you very dearly. God has made this camp meeting be something special to me. Greater than anything that I have seen or been in 29 years in the ministry. Because of the particular ministry and joy that I've had in the food and the confirmations and things and the spirit of worship here. I think it was Brother Chuck Flynn that talked about the conventions that he'd been in where a dean of a Bible college comes or a speaker from Mecca comes. Where's Missouri from? Never mind. Yes. Yeah. Well, you will find, and I don't want to take time to go into this right now, but you will find that they have adopted a lot of good names, including Jesus, absolutely. And we have found, even in dealing, for instance, Roled. Roled is the stomach area. And it is ironic that people should take the name Roled to help the stomach. And Giz is the intestines. And Vermeil, the female organs. And Luke, you will find, has to deal with the menstrual period. And we've seen many with clots and cramps and problems and deal with, did I say Luke? I didn't mean Luke. I meant Eve. Thank you, dear. Eve, which is the one that caused the curse to fall upon the women in the first place. And so these demon powers, not that Eve was an evil thing, but they take the name of that that initiated it. Or the certain characteristics. Absalom, you see, was rebellious and controlling, trying to control the people. I got to stop. There are many names, and without the rest of the list along to give you an explanation, there's no way in all the world I found. I tried to memorize all of the things that it was pertaining to, you see, but I found that I couldn't. I had to turn around and say, Lord, the list is fine. We've won the battle in that area. But you're going to have to bring to my remembrance as I begin to pray for people what the particular need is or what the particular spirit is. Because unless God quickens, well, that's it. And then that keeps it in the hand of the Lord. It is never my ministry, and it always keeps it quite vividly clear that I have to do on him. Yes, Motius. Yes, I believe that's the spelling of it. All righty. Now, I don't know exactly how to go from here. I don't want to push you into too much of an area. I don't want to overload you, like I said. But I want you to realize that one important thing, if you hear nothing else that I've said, balance your walk with God. Don't get out on a tangent on one area. I've seen many great men that got out on one area and suddenly stumbled and fell. And if you will stay anchored into the trunk, and the trunk has all of the branches coming out of it, and you'll keep it balanced, you'll be fine. Grow in all the areas. Your mind is like a parachute. If it's not open, it won't do you any good, and a fall liable to kill you. It doesn't stop. And so be open. Look, God has quickened many of you with thoughts and ideas that you've never thought of or heard of before. And God can give you revelation in this area. Begin to reveal the tabernacle. God said in in the 77th Psalm, the way of the Lord is in the sanctuary. And in the 103rd Psalm, he said he showed unto the children of Israel his works, but unto Moses his way. And what did he show him? He showed him the tabernacle, the way, the outer court being salvation and all that pertains to it, the holy place being the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the light of that holy place is the oil, which is the Holy Spirit. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're candidates to be part of the sons of God. Many are called, but few are chosen. Not talking about the outer court, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Not talking about the holy place, because if you know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him? But as far as the third veil, I've had an experience with the Son. Firstly, I've had an experience with the Holy Spirit. Second veil. But nothing is completed in two. You can take two lines forever and it won't complete. But you bring the third and you got a triangle. You got a trinity. And we will have an experience with the Father. Many are called, but few are chosen. And the experience of the third veil is an experience with the Father. It's His choosing. It's His final culmination. Glory be to God. Press on. And you can study the tabernacle, but it moves on. And the tabernacle, if you want to see a beautiful typology of it, is still in Shiloh. The denominational people are down there still worshiping Shiloh. And what does the tabernacle worship? Quiet. The only noise was the tinkling of the priest when he went into the Holy of Holies. Golden bell and the pomegranate. Silent worship. But then we've put it on a new cart now. You see, it was taken captive. And then we have wrestled it back, and God has brought it back to the church, and now it's on a new cart. And we say, those denominational people. Honey, look at the cart. It's got four wheels and a bed and a tongue and oxen are pulled, just like the Philistines had. And Pentecost took the Southern Baptist Sunday School and all here and there a little bit, and you know, and they think they got a new cart. And many people are trying to there's carts moving, it's shaking now. Many people are trying to stay it and say, be easy now. Don't get carried away. And a lot of people did, a lot of churches today are, they've been in the spiritual realm, in the holy place. They're filled with the Holy Ghost. But their idea is to go back and camp on the veil of the second veil, right there, so that they can get the charismatics and the denominational people, but still be in Pentecost. But they say, now, in order to reach these people, we can't talk in tongues. So now there's no messages unless I know who you are. And you start having a little spell of the ushers, take them out. Now, wait a minute. The way of the Lord is on in and pressing in to be a part of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The way of the Lord is in the sanctuary, on in. And so you can stay out here if you want, but you're going to miss the boat. You see, the ark came and they put their hand on it. And I say the church as a whole is right now at Nachon's thrashing floor. God blessed there, and they were blessed because it was there. God is blessing, but that isn't Jerusalem. And God's going to have six Levites and two priests that will put the ark on their own shoulder and carry it all the way to Jerusalem. And what's going to be characteristic of it? Well, they're going to have singers singing night and day. Noisy people going to be dancing. Hallelujah. David's going to dance, and they're going to be those saying, hey, cut that out. And they're going to be barren, just like old... It's like Michael was. So, don't lay your hand on the ark. Don't lay your hand on the ark. Let God move in your life. People say, well, dance in the spirit? I'm afraid I'll get in the flesh. Now, wait a minute. Your spiritual man uses this fleshly temple. Just control it. He said, I will dance in the spirit. He didn't say, something else going to dance through me. He said, I will dance. I will sing in the spirit. If you can talk in tongues, you can sing in the Spirit. Amen. I will sing in the Spirit. And I will sing with my understanding. And I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray with my understanding. You see, actually, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is God merely giving that spiritual man ability to talk. He lost his ability to talk at the fall, but when he's born again and now becomes quickened and made alive, after it grows a little bit, it surely ought to be talking a heavenly language if it's a spiritual body. We call it prayer language. We talk it what we want. But it when a baby, I got a little granddaughter, 2 years old. I told the kids the other night, I said, now, if you guys go to the hospital or something, call me and I'll pray for you. But I said, if the church burns down or something happens to Stacy, you call me. I'm coming home. That's a little humor there. You can smile if you want. My wife always says, yeah, very little, but you can smile. Go ahead. I'm still worried about getting out of here live this afternoon. And you're not helping me much right now. Well, Legion. Usually if you'll hit Legion, you won't have to worry about and break the chain of command under it. And that will include and close the Modius, close the channels. You say, I close and demand that no longer is the Modius open. No longer can Ephesus and Smyrna and Thyatira and Pergamos and Laodicea and Philadelphia, no longer is it open to you, Satan. You go on back and you take your hands off. And then if it's a mental problem, then you begin with a legion and begin to come against. As you bind legion, then you can say to schizophrenia, paranoia, senility, and so forth, or mind binding, they come out very easily. These things are operated by faith. The ministry of deliverance is operated by faith, is all the things of God are operated by faith. Alrighty? And so, there is the particular ministry. God says, by the finger of God, we cast out devils. And so, in the hand ministry, there are fingers of prophecy, there are fingers of healing and so forth, but there's a finger of casting out devils. By the finger of God, we cast out devils. And so, there's that particular ministry. But these signs shall follow them that believe. So don't back up. Don't be afraid. In fact, maybe that particular ministry is waiting for you to, by faith, as Brother Chuck had you the other night, begin to exercise it and move out into it. Alrighty, have I done everything? I don't want to get into questions and answer because you're asking me questions I don't want to talk about. And I want God to begin to reveal it to you. I want God to bring... And then, too, many of the things that... Some of the charts that I made a few years ago, I'm glad that I didn't let them out because I've had to revamp some of them. So allow God to guide you and direct you, you see. Not drastically, but certain things and certain ideas. Do you understand what I'm saying? God is bringing all of this into focus so that it will be an anthem of praise unto Him, sister.
Now, which side of the baby can never be here ago? How mm-hmm.
Well, Brother Wynn told you, and I'll say again to you, there will never be any full deliverance. I am still going under deliverance from time to time. The closer you get to God, the smaller are the things that He deals with, but deal with He does. You see, the final deliverance is going to come when Jesus comes. The final thing to be done away with is death, Corinthians says. You see, man has never lived a full day. He says, in the day that thou sinnest, thou shalt surely die. And man has never lived a day. Do you realize that? Adam lived 930 years, and what, Seth and Enoch, they lived a little longer than that, and so forth, but they never lived a full day, because a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. But when it comes to the millennial time, God's going to do away with death, and there'll be people now with a curse lifted that'll live a full day. You see, you just keep egging me on. Right. Don't despair about it. Just keep on working. Who knows but what God has reserved that for the final move, and it'll be one of the glorious miracles that will shake. We're going to see things, beloved, and revelations of God's Word that you've never seen before. There will be truths that will begin to come out of the Word of God. You'll say, you see, God is restoring. In the dark ages, we were down to nothing. And God is now restoring on back. And He starts with the just shall live by faith, Luther. And then He goes on into the holiness movement. And then He goes on into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then He goes on into the gifts of the Spirit. And now He's going into the area of the last day ministry. You see? And deliverance is coming to the fore. And who can come before God but He with clean hands and a pure heart? How are you going to get clean hands? By the washing of the water, by the word, by the ministry that God is unveiling in this last day. Glory. And so we want to go on. And so remember, there was one that says, who is sin? he or his parents? And he said, none. But the glory of God may be revealed. And God has some in this last day that are going to be quickened. I mean healed, glorious, and they're going to shake a community. I'll tell you some of the other things. We're going to see fat people instantly healed. The Fox Party way back in the 40s was in San Diego, California, and there was a lady, she must have weighed 350 pounds. Great, large lady. And he laid hands on her, and she grabbed. For instance, she was 119 pounds. And she, if she hadn't grabbed, she'd have gone right through the neck hole. She was that tiny, and that neck hole was that big. And her underclothes just fell right off on the ground. I have a couple in church that were in Minnesota. Yeah. You say, oh, is that true? I believe it enough that when I'm at my church, I wear spenders. Absolutely. God has told me. Amen. Crazy. Crazy. Glory be to God. I'm praying either I have my spenders on or I'm well behind the pulpit. I believe it's going to be a visitation to midnight, but I have. I really have. I've been wearing spenders. Yeah. You say, well, you know, you're a big man. Yeah, but not nearly as big as I was just a few months ago. I've lost almost 100 pounds now. Give God the glory. It's He that's doing it. Oh, my. But we're going to see fat men instantly, fat women instantly. I started to tell you, I have a lady in the and a gentleman in the church, and they were in Minnesota, and a lady that was heavy was prayed for, and immediately water began to run off of her. Now, God does it the way He wants, you see. The one was instant, but this, and water began to run clear to the wall. I mean, actually streams. And she just went down, 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 down. The same way as the other one, only this, it melted off of her. You see? We are seeing things. The works that I do, shall we do also. And beloved, it's going to be where? Here on this earth. You see, the woman. Oh, you're terrible. It's the woman that is going to do this. The man-child is going to oversee it and protect the woman, but the woman is going to do the miracles and wonders and signs. For God will have a man. Now listen, Satan came into the garden where there was no sin, into God's garden, and caused man to stumble and fall. He didn't take man out of the garden to do it. Now God can't take man out of Satan's garden, which is the world, none righteous, no, not one, and change him and bring him back. He's got to have some that'll do the works that he did and greater works. And he's got to change him where? Right here. Or Satan in eternity will say, you said they'll do the works that you did and greater, but I kept you from it. You had to take him out of the garden, my garden, but I didn't have to take Adam and Eve out of your garden. And it'll never happen. God will have a people. Brother, there's come a time, Bill, when we'll say, let him have hair. Now, but you know, Bill doesn't want that, but honey, you just will buy you a comb. Amen. Yes. Oh. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. God has wondrous things in store for His children. Things right now that are too hard for you to believe. But someday, just like healing and the gifts of healing and just like the message of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you say, why in the world didn't we think of that before? Why weren't we a part? How could we have gone all this time and not been a part of all of this? And God is going to unveil scriptures and truths. And you see, you know a truth and the truth sets you free. That means when you understand your rights, you're going to enjoy your liberties. You see? You're going to have a key. Now, we had the key and Luther gave us, and so we stuck it in and we unlocked the door of salvation, and now we know we can be born again. And then along comes the Pentecostals, and they found a key, and they opened the door, and now all that pertains to the baptism of the Holy Ghost is ours. You see? And then we find a key and we open it in our experience and we begin to be used in the gifts of the Spirit. And then we find a key and we open it and now deliverance is becoming a part of our lives. You see. And we find a key and we open it and now God's unveiling this last day ministry. The things that Daniel heard that he was not to write, but it was to be revealed in the last days. The day, the things that the seven thunders uttered, but they were told to seal up and not to speak of it, you see. All that was contained in that little book that they that Jesus had, and no man was able to eat thereof or look thereon, but the lion of the tribe of Judah prevailed. Hallelujah. All right, you want to stand with me? Oh, my. You see, I've already given you this morning, I mean this afternoon, a whole month's sermons. I've just been skimming the cream off the top. That's terrible. Okay, thank you. Pass the suspenders. Praise God. Amen. All righty. I love you folks. You've been very, very kind to my wife and I. The warmth of your love, it brings back the memories of when we were on the evangelistic field in Arkansas and Texas and Missouri. Well, in Missouri, where I was born, they weren't quite as warm as Arkansas and Texas and Oklahoma. But we won't hold that against you because I'm one of you, you see. I was born in the state of misery and been there ever since. My wife says I was born in a state of confusion. Little joke there. All righty, enough of the smiles. Let's give God a praise offering. Let's tell we love him and ask him to help us to grow. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Zaramarandori bebedina korandarabahaya. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, folks, please. Don't come and drill me about the things that you've seen. God's going to be the one to ask you the password. And wasn't it Sibylla? Something like that. Huh? And the Philistines couldn't say the word. Only the children of Israel. And God will lead you. You wait on him. You'll never be strong by being hand-fed. You'll be strong as God teaches you to eat at his table. And his table is being spread not for creatures. Isaiah 28 says that their tables are full of vomit. And you know what vomit is? It's yesterday's meal. And if you're in a church that's feeding just yesterday's meal, you better find out where you can get a good bite full once in a while. And remember, beloved, the storehouse is where you get the armor. Huh? The storehouse is where you get the armor, where you get fed. You don't eat a meal at one restaurant and pay for it down the street. Don't even invest in the outer court. Invest in the holy place. Amen. And you've got a pastor that's doing that, then get behind him and pray for him. If he doesn't know until he turns it down, you pray for him, undergird him, stand behind him. Amen, Sister Bunch. Thank you. Shall we pray? My Father, lay your hand upon these sweet people. Lord God, let them not fret and let them not be confused, but rather, Lord, let them find that answer from you, for you're not the author of confusion. You can give them clarity and understanding, and these things that we have shared, these things that Brother Flynn has shared, those things that our Brother Ellingwood has shared, you can quicken their minds and bring them to remembrance. You can dovetail them together until they bring forth, Lord, in understanding and wisdom. Let them, O Lamb of God, have the lion's spirit. Let it roar within them, hungry, Lord, that you may move and have your way in their lives. I rebuke and bind the zodiac. And in the name of Jesus Christ, everyone under the sound of my voice, you will loose this temple, for it is no longer yours. It is the sign of the cross. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind the Modias. You will not reach through it to affect their personality. You will not reach through it to have your domain, for it is no longer yours. for I curse you with the curse of the fig tree. You will begin to wither and die from this very moment in the name of Jesus. And ere this camp meeting is over, you will be consigned to the lake of fire if you have not left these here alone. For I, in the name of Jesus Christ, decree it. And it is written, thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. I break that yoke. I close them, Odious, and all that is under it will wither and die in Jesus' name. Angels of the living God, you have heard my decree. Your ministering spirits for the children of God carry out this that I have decreed in Jesus' name. Now, Father, go with each one. Bless them. Keep them. Anoint them for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.